Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. Jesus says, "Not that any man has seen the Father, save he which is of God, he has seen the Father. Verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Verse 52. "The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus said, verily I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoso eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Here's the wonderful promise, the hope that we have in Jesus Christ, that if we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, we shall have eternal life, a reward that's given to us when Jesus shall come, and we will be with him throughout all eternity. Was Jesus some lunatic, some crazy guy that just went around saying these interesting comments for antidotes for the common maladies of this life? Or did Jesus truly have a spiritual application that he was implying upon the believers or the non-believers alike? What's interesting, Jesus was talking to the Jewish nation, and the Jewish nation, many times, they looked to their forefathers, such as Abraham and Moses and all them, and they said, "We have Abraham, we have Moses." And because they accepted their lineage from Abraham and Moses, they automatically thought, because that they were the bloodline, because they were the bloodline of Abraham, they automatically had salvation. Didn't matter what they did. Didn't matter what they did to others. It didn't matter the resentment or the harbored hate for Gentiles and those around them. Didn't matter. Because they were the blood of Abraham, they were automatically saved. Wow. I wonder if some today here within our churches and our congregation here today think the same. Because I'm a Seventh-day Adventist, because I was baptized, doesn't matter. I'm saved. I know the truth. I'm saved. I have the truth. I'm 4th, 5th, 6th generation Adventist. I have the truth. I'm saved. I wonder if we have this type of mentality within our hearts or in our church here today. Well, Jesus goes on to respond to these Jewish Pharisees, so to speak. And he says to them, he says, "Look, your forefathers ate bread in the wilderness. Yes, they got the manna that came from God." And so they looked to that. The Jewish nation looked at the wilderness experience and say, "Look, God took care of our forefathers in the wilderness. He's going to take care of us today." Jesus comes along and tells them, he throws in something. Throws a wrench in the machinery and he says, "Look, unless you eat of my flesh, you will not have eternal life." What is this guy, crazy? What is he, nuts? Who does he think he is? We're supposed to become cannibals now and eat and partake of his body? For us to, they never thought in the spiritual realm. They always thought the here and now. What did this mean? What did this apply to me right now? And so Jesus was saying, "Accept me, take of me, and you shall have eternal life." And then Jesus points, he does something very interesting. He points back to the wilderness experience when the children of Israel were wandering around for those 40 years. He points back and he said, "Yes, God fed you with manna, but I am the true bread. I am that manna that came down from heaven. I am the one that sustains the real life, the spiritual life, eternal life. Go ahead and eat the bread in the wilderness, but they're all dead. But let me tell you something right here, right now," Jesus says. He's talking to the church. He's talking to the church. And he says, "Eat my flesh, drink my blood, and you will live forever." What was Jesus implying in those words? Take me in to your heart. You see, the transformation on the outside isn't good enough for eternal life. Oh, we can look pious. We can look holy. We can eat right. We can do all these different things that make us look like we're good Christians. But if the heart goes untransformed, we will lose out on eternal life. So Jesus asks us, he says, eat of my body, eat of my flesh, drink of my blood. In other words, when Christ comes in, when Christ comes into the life, when Christ comes into the body, God does a transformation from the inside out, not an outside in. The outside follows suit of what's going on in the inside. God wants to transform the life inside out. So the Jews start to get kind of an understanding, but they're not too certain of this. What is this man talking about? They stroke, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Well, we know, spiritually, in the context of, Christ gave his body to be a sacrifice for all those who sinned against God. Amen? He gave his body, as the Bible says, to be broken, to be spilled out, so that we who believe on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The message for us today when we enter into this communion service is that we are in a foreknowledge, accepting prior to the atonement that Christ made in accepting the future hope of eternal life. What Jesus did back there gives me hope today that no matter what my sin, Christ can forgive me. And because I am forgiven, I will receive the future reward of eternal life if I accept Christ right now. Jesus says, eat my flesh. Jews still didn't comprehend the spiritual language of Christ. So I really believe that Christ came and he pointed out what we must do. With the emblems that are laid out before us today, the bread and the wine, the bread symbolizing Christ's body that was broken for us, Jesus enters into a circle of 12 disciples with all kinds of bad traits and faults. Knowing their condition, knowing their heart, he enters into a relationship with them and he breaks bread and he says, take, eat, this is my body which was broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Every time we enter into this holy service, it's a recognition of the sacrifice of what Jesus did on the cross and what it cost him. Every time we break that bread, it's a symbol of Christ's body being broken for you and I because of the sin in this world. The punishment you and I deserve, Christ bore on the cross. To accept his atonement, to accept his sacrifice. Then he passes the cup around, he says, drink. Drink this in remembrance of me. Take the wine that represents and symbolizes my blood. Take and drink it all, because the Bible says the blood cleanses us from all sin. Yes, we accept the sacrifice of Christ. Yes, we accept Christ. We take him in. We eat of his flesh. But friends, it's not good enough. It's not just enough to say that we believe in Jesus. We must act our part and seek him in forgiveness and confession, saying, Lord, forgive me of my sins. A Christian is not just one who believes in God, but a Christian is one who is converted by God. So take the blood, the wine that symbolizes Christ's blood that was spilled out for you and I, and drink it. A washing away, a cleansing of our sins. It's amazing. Jesus puts this into a common terminology. Whosoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. You see, friends, today, if we can take the communion service, the communion cup, today, in the rested assurance of the salvation of Jesus, we can have confidence in eternal life tomorrow. It's not just eating the bread. It's not just drinking the grape juice. That's not going to give you eternal life. It's accepting Jesus and what he did into your life and living out your life, the rest of your life, in communion and relationship with God. But will you do that today? Paul gives us a message of warning too. Don't come to the communion table with a heart filled with gluttony. don't come just to eat. It's better not to eat. It's better not to partake. Don't partake if your heart's not right. What a scary thought. He says, by doing so, you break Christ's body for no good, no reason. Of course, I'm paraphrasing. But if we take of the communion cup without forgiveness in the heart, if we partake of the communion cup without thankfulness in the heart, it's like we're crucifying Christ for no reason. We're hanging him on a tree for no reason. We're crucifying the Son of God for no reason. Will you today partake of the communion cup? Will you today partake of the bread with a willingness to forgive and a willingness to be forgiven? Will you accept Christ into your heart and your life today? Don't hold back anymore. Don't hold back anymore. Just lay it down at the foot of the cross. Leave something here today at the foot of Jesus, at the feet of Christ. Leave something, a part of you, behind today and allow Jesus to transform your life. So I'm going to ask today as we go into the foot washing ceremony that you would do so reverently and quietly. And if it's not your desire to partake in the foot washing service, you're welcome to observe or to fellowship or to stay here in the congregation or the church sanctuary, either way. But I'm going to ask you to go quietly and reverently. And when you go into the foot washing service, don't talk about the labors and the cares of this week. Don't be concerned about the mundane things of life. Let's enter into a respectful service. And let's ordain our thoughts to God. And then when we come back, let's partake in the service of communion, thanking God for His forgiveness and His sacrifice that He did for us on Calvary's tree. Let's stand together and have a prayer. Gracious Father, we thank You and we praise You for the gift of Your Son, Jesus Christ. May our hearts be moved with compassion. May our hearts be moved with change. Revive us, O God. Heal us. Forgive us, I pray, of our shortcomings. Forgive us, Lord, of our stupidity. Forgive us, Father, of our sins against You and against our fellow man. As we partake in the foot washing service, let us find our hope in revival with our relationships with each other. In the communion service of the bread and the wine, let us find revival with our communion and our relationship with You. We thank You, Jesus, for the sacrifice and Your willingness to love and to serve us. I pray today that in our hearts today that none will sacrifice You in vain, but they will accept Your atonement and Your sacrifice. May we live out our lives to glorify You so that You can raise us up in the last day to give us the reward for accepting You, which is eternal life. Hear our prayer this hour, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.